Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everybody, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam, here is Danielle.
Hi.
And here's Mia.
Hi.
Yay, Mia.
Hello, hi.
Well, you are by far our most exciting guest ever, and we have had a lot of exciting guests on.
That's true.
I am your most exciting guest ever.
or we've had exciting guests.
You have had a lot of exciting guests, but I would say, yes, I am the most amazing one.
If you don't say so yourself.
In your humble opinion.
Yes.
I don't say so myself. I wouldn't say that I'm the best guest you've ever had, but yeah, I am the best guest you've ever had. And you should be appreciating my presence here.
We are.
Come a little closer to the mic. It's okay.
This close enough?
Much better. Yes. Keep going.
So you have been wanting to come on for a long, we had the podcast now over 2 years, and I would say this is something we've been talking about for probably over a year that you've wanted to come on, and I've been a little hesitant, not because I don't trust you or want you on or anything like that, because there's nobody I would rather have on the podcast, but I guess as a mom, my first instinct is, you know, we get rated and reviewed and we get a lot of feedback. Most of it is overwhelmingly wonderful and non-judgmental and incredible. But of course, with anything, there's that other side. And I just never, ever, my heart would be wrenched if I ever had that other side happen when it came to my kid. So, you know, we really have the most incredible community. But of course, my first instinct is always just to be very protective of you, but I am so happy you're here. You're being so brave, and you're just, you know, you're awesome.
Thank you. Oh, that was very nice. Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about acceptance with you on an episode, because I think Dad and I work really hard, and I know we are by no means perfect parents. Don't say anything yet. I know you're dying to.
Who, me or Mia?
Mia.
I have stuff to say.
Yeah, but just wait.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about acceptance because that has been such an important thing to us. And I think especially being a teenager, no matter who you are as a teenager, you need a safe space. But also if you want to talk to us a little bit about why you wanted to come on and talk about acceptance and accepting your kids, for who they are, then that would be great.
Well, I've always wanted to be on here mainly because you are my parents and stuff. And like, I wanted to be a part of this. But also like a huge part of it is that like, I'm so glad that you asked me, like, as your LGBT kid, your kid who's part of the LGBT community, instead of just, like, talking about your experience as LGBT, as parents of an LGBTQ plus kid, because, like, I think it's important to hear from the kid's perspective, not just the parents, and, like, to hear what the kid thinks, you know, and, like, for the parents to hear from the actual kid, see, like, oh, so this stuff is actually, like, what we need to be doing. This is, like, what we need to be our kid needs to be hearing. Like, mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, it's, like, different for every kid, obviously. And, I don't know, I just got, like, really excited. Like, you know, you all are my parents, and...
Well, and it's nice to have a platform, right?
Yeah, true. And it's nice to... And this stuff, like, needs to be talked about.
Yeah. And we have never spoken about... your sexual identity or your identity really at all on the podcast. We do talk about you guys, but it's mostly like, you know, you guys were being pains in the butt.
Yeah, bitching about
or,
them.
Yeah, or right. something like that.
I mean, that's fair. I'm assuming you talk about Ian the most then, right?
we do talk about Ian a lot. I always wanted it to be that if we were going to talk about it, you were going to be here. I in no way would ever want to tell your story or pretend to know how you feel about it. And, you know, and my main goal is just to give you a space to maybe talk to the parents. I don't know if parents are going to want to listen to this with their kids. And you know, really just talk about how we can make a place for kids to feel accepted and loved and better understood. So do you want to talk a little bit about your, like, you know, it's so interesting because the first thing I was thinking about coming out, but I don't know that you ever really came out.
I mean, I don't think I ever came out to Dag. I might have like come out to you.
No, I was trying to think about this for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I never came.
There was
out
never
to
a
Dag.
Point where I thought to myself, "Did Mia say something to me or let me know in some way?" It never happened.
I think it was a gradual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember with Dad, it was probably just like making a joke and you guys are laughing and Dad's just like, oh, okay. I guess I think that's what probably happened. I don't remember, honestly.
I think it was mostly we were all just sitting around watching a movie.
Yeah. That's what I remember too. Yeah.
And Ian said something about...
I came out to Ian. I definitely did come out to Ian.
Yeah. Ian said something to me. I don't remember what it was. How do I feel about it or something to that manner? And I just remember saying, I don't know. I don't care. Is she happy? That's what I care about. And that's all I remember saying. That's right.
Yeah.
That's a good response.
It just made
me
think that, you know, you think about every person having this huge, incredible coming out moment or transformative coming out moment. But I think everybody's situation is different. And I also think that this is something for you that you have been thinking about for a long time, that you knew you were sort of somewhere on the LGBT spectrum. But as we're all sort of trying to figure out our identities throughout life, you were sort of just trying to figure out where exactly you did fit.
No, to be honest. Oh. I was. This is actually something I was struggling with for like a long time. I just like haven't really been open with you guys about it. This is something I was struggling with for a while, to be honest.
Like, at what point? At what age?
Mainly in like 6th and 7th grade.
But I feel like we've been talking about it for a long time, yeah. You and I.
Well, yeah, but for me, it felt like forever that I was struggling with it, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel a struggle? Did you like?
Yes, definitely.
A struggle talking to us or a struggle?
No, a struggle like, talking to you, just an internal struggle. Okay. Have you heard of like the term internalized homophobia?
No.
So basically, it's like, it's not necessarily, it's obviously like not that you're homophobic. It's like more that you're homophobic of yourself. Like you're scared of being gay. Like, you're fine with the like being gay in general in most cases, like people being gay in general. That's in most cases. But yeah, in my case, it was like, I'm fine with this. Like, yay, LGBT, LGBTQ plus rights and stuff like that. But you know, I could never be gay. No, not me. And here we are. Uh-huh.
It was like a denial kind of.
Oh yeah, definitely. I remember this one time in 6th grade where I had like a majority of my friends in like 6th grade, a majority of the people I hung out with were part of the community. And this one time, one of them was like, "Are you sure that you're not into girls?" And I went like, I went on this like whole rant about like, "Oh no, I hate other girls. Like, I know other girls suck." Even though I claimed to be a feminist, like.
You were just trying to prove almost to yourself that it wasn't true.
Yeah, totally. Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think so many of us go through, and we talk about this on the podcast too, that I don't know that I don't think I'm 100%, you know, heterosexual or straight.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I've spoken. Wait a minute.
Listen, I will
Mia
leave
knows
this,
right?
I mean, I kind of assume.
Yeah, yeah. And you, I mean, we talk about it on the podcast. Why are you acting shocked?
I'm just thinking to myself, should I leave this conversation and head out? And you guys can have this podcast to yourselves.
Oh, am I not giving you enough time to talk? I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I just don't know if I'm supposed to be here as a man.
I mean, as a man, it's like definitely important for you to
absolutely
to like be in the room for this. Because like,
oh, thank you.
especially because like there are like a lot of like homophobic fathers out there, like more homophobic like non-accepting fathers than mothers, and I'm like so lucky that I have you guys as my parents.
Oh, thank
even
you.
If I do complain about you guys sometimes, like I'm really like one of the lucky ones. Like,
aww.
But remember that, because you
complain,
about me a lot.
A lot,
not just a little.
No, that is that. That is.
Well, I do want to ask you a question.
Yeah,
I'm very interested in this.
Yep.
Because your mom and I, growing up in the '80s,
I grew up in the '90s.
You guys are the same age. What do you
yeah,
mean?
Exactly. Coming out of the closet was a huge deal. We grew up in the age of AIDS, and people didn't want to relieve themselves, you know, let people know that they were gay. How is it different today versus then?
Today,
is coming out of the closet a thing today, or is it more of a gradual thing like we went through with you?
It depends on the case, to be honest, to be like real. There are some cases where like people don't come out of the closet until they're like in their like 40s to like 60s, or like even like past that, and so like it can still be a big deal. It just wasn't for me, because I like a nice space like this, I guess. And just like, also it's just like I hate coming out. I just think it's just like not fun. It's like, it's not a conversation I want to have. I am out to most of the people in my life. I mean, I haven't like, I'm pretty sure Mima thinks I'm straight. I'm pretty sure
your grandma.
Yeah, Mima, my grandma, my mom's mom.
I think both your I don't think so. But you haven't exactly come out to either of your grandmothers.
Well, no, I mean with my grandma, which is my dad's mom. She and I are really close. So if she's listening to this, I haven't come out to her yet. So if she's listening to this, hi, I guess. Now you know, I like girls.
Yeah, well, you're close with, you know, all your grandparents, and they live close by and everything. And you like you said, you're out to most people. Is it something about that you think that they still see you as this little girl, or is it more about the fact that they're from a different generation and you're worried about being judged by them?
Honestly, like at this point with Mima and Zega, like I know that Mima would be like down for that. I think she'd be like, oh hell yeah, you know, like yeah.
Yeah, Mima's been on the podcast. Everybody knows who.
Yeah.
Linda.
Yeah, Linda would not care.
Linda,
no matter
yeah,
what,
she'd be down.
Any situation.
I mean,
Linda would be like, I saw an episode on The View about it.
She would. I don't know. I mean, I think that Zaya would be cool. I think he'd be like, you know how Zaya is, like all stuttery and stuff. Like, I think he'd be like, oh, okay.
He'd say a Hebrew prayer.
Yeah. <It's> like, yeah. I think it's not that I'm like scared to come out to them or
and
anything.
And Graham
like,
will be 110%.
Yeah, I know. It's just like,
she
can
loves
I just, like,
you.
Talk
oh
about
gosh,
them for
yeah.
a second, because like yeah. it's kind of different with both of them for
sure.
me.
Sure.
With Mima and Zaya, it's just, like more like, oh, I just like don't want to come out. It's like, you know what? Like someday I'll bring home a girlfriend. You guys will be like, oh yeah, that made sense. Yeah, we probably should have guessed. But with Graham, it's different. I mean, just like Graham is like. You know how close Graham and I are, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just like, it's really hard for me. There have been chances where, like, I could come out, and, like, I just, like, chose not to. I've, like, even, like, considered, like, writing her a note. It's like, I just, like, it's just, like, not something I want to do. It's like,
are you
I know she'll react positively. I don't know.
Or
I mean,
just
like,
the
I
stress of coming out. Like, there's a
yeah,
stress
Yeah, especially,
of it.
Like, to her and stuff, because she's such a huge part of my life. Like, mm-hmm. Like, I know she'll react positively. It's just like, I just don't want to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, well, but however you're feeling is how you're feeling. But, you know, yeah, there's no doubt in my
I
mind.
I mean, you know what's going to happen. She's going to hug you
yes.
and say, yes, I know,
yeah.
and I love you.
But Dad and I have never had to do anything like that. Yeah. So we don't know what it feels like to have to, you know, be in that position again and again and again. When, like
right.
you're saying, you're constantly having to do it, because until you put yourself in some ways, that almost might be a nice part of coming on this podcast, because in some ways it's sort of like, okay, now you know, a lot of people who we know are going to know, and you've done it in this, you know, incredibly brave, courageous, wonderful way. And next time you see them, you'll sort of be like, oh yeah, they probably know already. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to like just come out again.
Honestly, I found like It's okay that you do this, obviously. Like, I'm down with this. Like, mom, you'll tell your friends that I'm gay. And I'm honestly, like, kind of thankful for that. Like, I've given her the okay on this. Like, I know that you've, like, told some of your friends that I'm a lesbian. And I'm definitely down for that. Because, like I've said, I hate having to come out. And so, like, I'm just, like, glad that you do that for me. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're also super close with a lot of my friends.
That's so true. Yeah. Her friends love me and I love them. So yes. This works out.
It's important to me. It's always been important to me that Ian and Jonah have known that there hasn't been any hiding of that. I mean, because I don't want you to feel like you're having to hide anything. And I think you also have really, really awesome accepting Ian's 12. And he's kind of like, I don't know how else to put it, but he's kind of like this jock, you know, this like, sports, yeah. Right?
For someone who's like as skinny as he is, he's like surprisingly athletic.
Well, I just mean friends.
Let's embrace that. That was almost a compliment for her brother.
Oh, yeah. You almost complimented him.
That's
we
as far
so
as
close.
She gets.
Oh, you were so close.
Let's embrace that.
But, you know, he's I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, he as much as he is, you guys are so different, right? Like he is completely. But I have to give him and Jonah, who's 9, I have to give them so much credit because they are so, I think that they just love you so much. And I don't think they ever make you feel awkward or.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. There have been times where Ian has made me feel awkward about it, but Jonah's been cool. Like,
let me interrupt you for a second, just because I understand how Ian can make you feel awkward or whatever. But as far as a 12-year-old little brother, I think he can probably make you feel as accepted as any little brother could.
That's fair. Definitely fair.
As much as he gives you a shot here and there, but that's just brother, sister, rivalry. But I think he's very accepting. Both your brothers are very accepting.
And he's very open with his friends about it, and he never...
Yeah, his friends all know as far as I know. Yeah. And he's like definitely like stood up for like LGBT rights like to them and stuff like he's mm-hmm. like
that's right and that was very important to me always is that I never wanted that to be a secret. I always wanted that to be really out in the open and I don't think you ever felt like you had to like come out to them either. I think it was just something that was just sort of part of our daily home culture.
I feel like this whole thing was just a progression.
It was
Ian and I did come out with Jonah. It was just like, you know, right? And Jenna was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were it was probably when we were watching Steven Universe, because that, I like to show him shows like that, especially because, like, there are so many good kids shows out there, like shows for kids his age that have such good LGBT rep. Better, I argue that, like, some of it is better than, like, the rep that's on TV, adult and teen TV shows, to be honest.
Is rep representation?
Yeah, rep as in mm-hmm. representation. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the Steven Universe show is something that you and he bonded over.
Yeah.
And in bonding, it's an animated show. Mm-hmm. And in bonding over that, I guess also is this underlying theme of LGBTQ and LGBTQ rights and acceptance and everything. So you were also sort of bonding over that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the main characters is LGBT, and the main character, the titular character, Steven Universe, he's very, like, I don't know if gender nonconforming is the right word, but, like, he's very, like, do you know what toxic masculinity is?
I sure do.
I'm assuming dad, do you?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So basically, they give him, like, a huge lack of like toxic masculinity. I say that as I feel like the word lack makes it sound negative, but that's such a good thing. Like in the show, he wears like there's points where he wears like skirts and makeup and high heels and stuff, and he's like very comfortable in his masculinity and like especially masculinity and femininity.
Okay.
And like yeah, especially like actually when the show in the original show, he was probably like around my age when I started watching it, like in the beginning of the show he's like 13 and he turns 14 in an episode, so yeah, it's like mm-hmm. cool that they're showing kids like, hey, it's okay, like especially like the boys who are wearing this, watching the show, like Jonah, it's like, hey, it's okay, like, wear skirts and, like, makeup and stuff. And, like, those aren't just things for girls, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, like, showcase non-binary characters and stuff, and, like, yeah, that's just cool.
How do you feel as far as, this is a big question for me, about social media, because I know that did you watch The Social Dilemma yet?
No.
Did you?
I did not. I know. Everyone keeps telling me I should. I'm going to. I know. I've been putting it off because I feel like I don't know if I can be stressed out about one more thing. But I do want to watch it. But The Social Dilemma. And I know, you know, we all talk about as parents, there's 1,000 podcast episodes and blogs written and books written about social media and how dangerous it is for kids. And I know that there are totally a lot of aspects of the internet and social media that can be horrible and can be very toxic and dangerous, to be honest. But I also think for you, social media has been a really powerful outlet.
Yes and no. When I was first starting to struggle with my sexuality, I found this corner of the internet where they convinced me, like, hey, you're better than other girls because you like to read. And I was like, oh, all right, sure. You know what? Yeah, I'm better than other girls. And so, like, that wasn't just, like, bad for me in the sense that, like, oh, I'm better than other girls. I couldn't date them. Like, not just in that sense, but, like, it gave me, like, it, like, kind of started me off and, like, internalized misogyny and stuff like that, you know? Like, that's just, like...
Wait, she's using two big words for me. Internalized misogyny.
Internalized misogyny. Can you explain is where to like me, kind please? Of like you are a woman, but like you like you like treat other women as if they're lower than you, I guess.
Okay.
Like, something you see in like books like Harry Potter, which is like a great book, which is like a great series, but like they do, there's a lot of that in there for some weird reason. I don't know, but like yeah.
But I feel like you have this also this thing where you follow these YouTubers and you follow these people
oh, yeah.
who are extremely open and honest, and they have they've created these beautiful, wonderful platforms. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that that has really helped you with your self-acceptance.
Oh yeah, definitely. There are a lot of like LGBT YouTubers I can recommend, but there's this one video that I've wanted you to watch. It's called Basically I'm Gay, and it's from this YouTuber, Dan Howell.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You were talking about Dan and Phil, who are YouTubers.
Yeah.
I know that you found them as a source of comfort, and you think it's really important that people watch this video. Why do you think that it's so important?
Well, Dan and Phil, they're like this duo, but like they did come out separately. They both came out like pretty close, like together. Their coming out videos like happened like pretty close together. I'm sorry, what'd you ask again? I kind of forgot.
Why do you think it's so important that people watch this video called I'm Gay?
Basically, I'm Gay.
Oh, sorry. Basically, I'm Gay.
Well, I do want to give a few trigger warnings first. He does talk about like suicide and like how he was bullied. He goes into like a bit of depth about that. And I just wanted to give a few trigger warnings for anyone who does go out to watch it. But basically I feel like it's so important because like, it's just like this, it's his story. And like, it's also like says a lot about like how some people speculate about celebrities like so much and like kind of like hurts them. Like he like talks about like, how like his sexuality was speculated by like everyone like at like this one point, and like everyone was like, oh, he's definitely gay, and that kind of like made it harder for him to come out because he wasn't ready. And so I think that, like, it's a kind of important, like, kind of talks. I think it's important, like, how we treat celebrities. Like, I think it says something about how we treat celebrities.
Well,
is
it also anybody? Isn't it better to not speculate for anybody and just let them have their own timeline, like, not just celebrities,
yeah,
right?
Like, maybe, like, just stop speculating about people in general. Yeah. Also, that's not, like, the main reason why I think it's important. Not, like, the whole not just the whole speculating thing, but also, like, I mean, I do think it's important, but it's not the most important thing. I think the most important thing is that, like, this is his story and can get, like, really dark. So, like, you when you say that, like, when some people say, like, oh, it's so much easier for people to come out today, it's not always like that. And I think that we need to stop saying that. Because, like, while it admittedly is easier for some people, it really isn't, like...
It's still hard for people, no matter what, even if we're not stuck back in the 60s where the nuclear family is, you know, just like the main now today. I know that there's, I think there is more acceptance of, you know, of different kinds of families, but for sure, we still have a very long way to go. And for you, I think that we do, I mean, we live in a community that is...
not the greatest.
I don't want to say not the greatest. Not as a lot of people aren't as accepting, but we certainly are the people we hang out with are. And you have been so incredible with that you have sought out, don't you think so, Adam, that she's been so good at seeking out her people who she knows are going to accept her for who she is. And I don't always think that's so easy, especially in high school, that, you know, it's very hard to find those people who you're going to sort of jive with and have the same feelings about. And you, that makes me so confident that you're going to be able to find those people throughout your life who, you know, that you have these friends, you have this niche of friends who really do accept you and you accept them. And that's, I don't think where we live, that's so easy to do.
Yeah. I know that, I'm lucky that I found them, like, pretty early on too, like, my two best friends, I met them in eighth grade and we're still going strong even though, like, none of us go to the same school, my two best friends and I, and so they're still, like, my, like, some of my favorite people in the entire universe, and I love them. And and I also have my friends from Sleepaway Camp, which happened last year. I haven't seen them since probably like a year ago, maybe.
Well, because of quarantine, you guys couldn't go back to camp this summer.
Yeah, and we still talk, though. Like, I still talk to them, like, pretty often.
And you're going next summer.
Yeah, definitely going next summer.
And I think it's really nice to have those other places, you know, away from this community, right? That that you have these other outlets. And also, before the quarantine happened, you were going to High Tops in Princeton, which is a really awesome place for LGBTQ.
That was a cool place, yeah.
Yeah, but the Sleepaway Camp was so great because amazing. It was just for anybody who was anybody. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you are, or everybody just loves everyone, right?
Yeah, it's just, like, such a great accepting place. People of, like, all genders, all sexualities there. It's, like, awesome.
Well, it was funny because recently I saw this video on YouTube where... There's a woman who was kind of quoted as being the originator of the gender reveal party.
Oh, yeah. And her kid.
And her kids ends up being non-binary.
Yeah.
Right.
So did she come out and say that she wishes that she hadn't?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So she came out and said.
I've seen that. I kind of like that. But
are you for that? Like, how do you feel about that?
I liked that. I kind of felt bad for her. Like, I thought it was, like, really funny. I know she feels, like, so bad, like, about, like, spurring this on. Like, I kind of hate the idea of gender reveals personally, but, like, I mean, sure, like, the mystery is fun. Like, oh, what gender is the baby going to be? But, like, it's just, like, you know, it's just, like, such a dumb thing. Like, we're, like, from, like, before they're born, like, we're kind of, like, pushing this gender onto them. Like, it's, like, hey, you know, just, like, take your time. You can, like, figure this out. We're not going to force you, like, wear anything. This is how, like, people should be. Like, just, like, it should just be, like, hey, take your time. We're not going to, like, force you to wear anything or, like, do anything that, like, makes you feel uncomfortable.
Right, so this forced pink or blue.
Yeah.
It's kind of outdated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of a dark topic, so you can like feel free to edit this out. But did you know that before the Holocaust, pink was actually the blue, the boy color, and blue was actually the girl color? Because during the Holocaust, they made gay men wear pink triangles, and so I guess that's apparently like what started it as being pink being a girl color and blue being a boy color. At least that's what I heard. I'm not 100% sure, but I might be wrong, but like this is what I've heard. And so, but I know that the pink triangle thing was definitely true. So like
that they got labeled with a pink triangle for being gay. Yeah. Yeah. It's always been a struggle. And I think right now, you know, people always say to me, I'm a little bit political on Instagram, especially in the last year and when everything was going on with Black Lives Matter and everything.
As you should be, though.
Yeah, I agree. And I know, you know, I know our listeners are so, you know, accepting and understanding and supportive of me doing that. But, you know, people always say about my Instagram page, why can't you just post funny memes and be a funny parenting page? Why do you have to get into politics? And why do you have to talk about your beliefs about this or your beliefs about LGBTQ or your beliefs about Black Lives Matter? And my issue is that you can't separate the two things because you don't know, you know, I have an LGBTQ daughter and what happens politically 100% affects her life. So when people say that to me, it's infuriating because I, as a parent of someone who could be marginalized and have her rights taken away, cannot ignore any of that. So I need to throw that in there that, you know, a lot of us, there's no separation for us. That if you have the luxury of separating politics from parenting, or I don't know if luxury is the wrong word, but a lot of people don't have that.
The right
A lot of people don't have that. So anyway, I wanted to throw that in there.
You could just say, because this is our page, this is what we are. There are plenty of people who are just about funny memes and parenting and. Go ahead.
That too.
If you want to be all encompassing of what we believe in and what we do, this is us.
Right. But I hate the assumption that parenting and politics should be separated because I just think that that's absolute bullshit.
It really is. Like, I just like, this is something that's so important to me too, especially because like, especially as your daughter, because like, it makes me so happy when I see you posting stuff like that because I need people to go out and vote so that I can have a future and so that kids like me can have a future so that any kid can have a real future.
Mm-hmm. And that there is active stuff going on to try to take away your rights, your future rights. And you have always been somebody, that's one of the reasons why I was so confident to have you on is because you are somebody who has always kept yourself really, really educated, wouldn't you say, Ad? Since
very much so. I mean, you were Danielle. You were very nervous about having Mia on. Is this the right thing to do? Is it not? Should we be doing this? And you know, I was thinking the whole time. You know, Mia knows her stuff. She's educating herself and everything she believes in. It's not just a abstract idea that she thinks and. Right.
You're my go-to for everything politically correct, right?
I definitely try really hard to do my best. Hard to do my best.
And if she wasn't comfortable doing this, of course we would not.
Oh, of course.
But
she's,
you know, obviously more than comfortable doing this. So.
Yeah. So that, I think to me, you have always been, even before you went through this, you know, this self-realization and everything about your identity, I think you've always really tried to be really informed about things. And you have always, you know, we've gone to women's march and women's rallies and the Black Lives Matter. And you are somebody who really cares, not just because it's you, but I think you care about other people. And I guess as somebody who is informed and who is growing up in a house where, you know, we've never done this before. You're our oldest child and granted, I think that we have a very, very accepting, warm, loving home, but I'm sure we also are making some mistakes. And I was wondering if you wanted to maybe talk to parents out there about some things that you think that they could be doing to create an accepting environment for their kids, and maybe some stuff that you think Dad and I could be doing that we're not or could be doing differently.
Okay, well, I have a lot to say on, like, parents, like, how, like, some parents, like, treat their kids. And, like, even parents, like, think that they're accepting. I'm not saying you're, like, you think you're accepting, but you're not really. I'm talking to parents who, like, think they're accepting and they think that they're doing a great job, but, like, they're not. 'Cause there are, like, so many parents who are, like, who are like, oh yeah, I'm great with my kid. They also like will tell them, oh, your sexuality or your gender, like that's just a phase, you know, you aren't actually this way. I know, I'm your mother. I'm your mother. I know better than you. Like, mm-hmm. Like moms should never tell their kids that like they know better than them. That's not something you can do. That's just like
you need to believe your kid.
Yeah, your kid. It like has the brain of your kid, has the body of your kid, has the heart of your kid. Your kid knows your kid best.
Mm-hmm. But do you feel like there's certain things that we have done? Like, for instance, you know, I know Adam will feel differently, but I love putting like the signs around, and I have the bumper stickers on my car, yeah. And the, you know, the one where I have the in this house we believe, you know, love is love and all bodies are beautiful and science is real and women's rights are human. I think sometimes you think I go overboard with everything.
No, it's fine with me. It doesn't. Yeah. Like,
but does that,
we believe the same thing.
No, so I know. You know. I know. But, you know, sometimes I think I'm like maybe I overdo it a little bit. But, you know,
you overdo a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I, you know, I try to just make it a space of acceptance. And do you feel like that stuff helps, knowing that, you know, that stuff is around and you're walking around your house and you feel like, you know, that you're in a space where you are, you know, just fully allowed to be yourself?
Yeah, it does help. However, you did ask like if there are things that you could be doing better,
and you're extremely excited to talk about it, I'm sure. Okay,
do you have a list?
Yeah, I know. How many pages
is this? Actually, is more about you than it is Dad.
Yeah, Dad. I agree. I think that Dad. I have to give him. I think that Dad is. You know, we talk a lot on this show about we've you know that we're very open about our marriage and stuff like that, and I think that Dad is one of the most accepting dads in the entire world.
There you go.
I'm not kidding. That you really just want your kids to be your kids.
Yeah. Well, I want them to be happy. I want them to be comfortable in their own selves.
Right. But there's never. I don't think our kids are ever worried that you're going to judge them. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now talk about me and how terrible I am.
Well,
maybe you and I can go back and forth about how terrible you are.
All right, let's get into it. Like, I am very lucky to have you as my mom. However, you know how Ian will make those jokes about how, like, I hate straight people and movies and, like, how, like, and, like, how, like, it's, like, bad that, like, oh, you only like gay things in movies. Like, he'll joke about, like, that.
Mm-hmm.
And, both of you actually need to be, like, talking to him about that more and just like, hey, that's not okay. Because like you've laughed when he made jokes like that before. Like,
because we can't watch any movies or anything that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and like, remember when we were watching Cheaper by the Dozen?
Yeah.
And like, we were watching the second one and I got upset when Allison Stoner, like the, you know, the butch girl, once she got that makeover, I was like upset. Like, why couldn't they just leave her butch, you know? And like, Ian just like started joking and like, and then you were laughing at it, and so I got really upset, and I stormed off.
Aw,
like,
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, remember? And then you asked me to watch another.
And remember the time that you.
And then you. And then you asked.
When I was four.
And then I wouldn't watch another movie with you guys, and you got really mad at me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure that there are ways that I am screwing up. I know I am. And I, you know, I think that we don't realize it, you know, there's so many ways I'm screwing up anyway. But about this also, I'm sure that there are things that I need to be better at. And if you're saying that those situations make you uncomfortable and that sometimes someone is making a joke, and then 100%, I'm 100% in the wrong and I need to work on that. We need to take a break and then we're going to come back and talk more with Mia Silverstein.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I want to find out what, you know, I know that you really feel like it helps your confidence and your identity watching some of these shows. Do you want to tell us why and about good representation in TV and movies and bad representation? Because I know this is a really, really big interest for you.
Well, this is like shows and movies are like really important to me. I don't know why. It's just like it's such a good outlet. It's just like a great method of escapism, I guess. And like I find it really easy to get into these stories, especially when they have a character who is LGBT or possibly LGBT.
Well, it normalizes what you're feeling, right?
Yeah.
So it makes it seem more okay to be, you know, comfortable with what's going on in the movie. Like, I know Love, Simon is one of your favorite movies.
I mean, yeah, but like over time, it's like the book was better at representing this than the movie was, I feel.
Oh,
like.
Oh, yeah, and books too have been a huge part. Wait, mm-hmm. You keep saying LGBT and LGBTQ. Can you, is it LGBT. Either or? Well, I know, I wonder which is the right way to be saying it.
It's probably better if I keep saying LGBTQ plus. I'm just kind of lazy.
It's just shortening it. It's not about that it's more appropriate now or.
Yeah, okay. No. Okay. I could go in like deeper into the acronym if you wanted me to.
Part two of the episode, we'll do that.
Okay. But yeah. There's a lot of like good rep that I've seen, and there is a lot of bad rep that for some reason I still watch just because like I'm so invested. Can I give an example of
sure,
that?
Sure, of course.
There's this one show I love and also kind of hate, Supernatural. It's like. It's a really good show, but also like there's this one character, one of the main characters who the fans have been begging for like the past 12 years. They've been like, "Hey, maybe you can make this character like bisexual," because like it's pretty obvious that he isn't straight. There's only a few episodes of the show left, so I guess they have like still time to do that, but it's like most likely that they're not going to. Like they've just been like kind of like, no, screw you, we're not going to do that. Why would we do that? And like everyone, and they have had LGBTQ plus characters before, but like pretty much all of them have been killed off, or like we only saw them once and they didn't get to have a good storyline.
And I know that in a good representation, I know that you have watched again and again and again. One of the most influential for you has been Schitt's Creek.
Oh my God, yes, that's my favorite show ever. I have an Alexis Rose pop. I just got.
I put a picture of you with it on our story.
You did.
So tell us why Schitt's Creek is such a transformative show for the LGBTQ plus community.
Well, it's so amazing that one of their main characters is pansexual, which is so rare. You rarely ever even see a character who's pansexual.
Do you want to quickly explain pansexual and which character is
pansexual? Yeah, which character is
David.
This?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, remember like the whole, I like the wine, not the label thing.
Yeah, yeah. That part where she's like, do you like red wine or white wine?
And he's like, I like the wine,
not the label.
And
grand meaning, innuendo. Like,
well, I mean, yeah. Basically, pansexual, it sounds a lot like bisexual at first, but it's not the same thing. Bi is like liking two or more genders and like having a preference. But pansexual, it's like, oh yeah, who cares? I like gender doesn't matter. I just like all people. And like no, like you don't have a preference. Like,
doesn't matter if the person is trans or hetero no. or.
Right, like if I bump into you in the street and I like you, I don't care what you are. I'm into you.
I mean,
right?
I mean, yeah, basically, like, not, well, why, like, not hetero? It's, like, about, like, attraction to gender, not, like, people, like, sexuality or anything. Like,
well, I'm saying that they might be attracted to somebody who's heterosexual. Like, they.
Well, I mean, anyone could be attracted to someone who's heterosexual.
Help me out.
Yeah, we're literally just trying to learn.
Yeah, we're learning.
It's gender. It's about gender. It's, like, well, it's actually about, like,
so
lack of gender when it comes to attraction. Mostly about, like, the T. It's, like, about being attracted to all genders. The official definition I've seen is, like, being attracted to two or more genders.
Okay.
And it's, like, you are, like, and, like, having preferences. Like, a lot of bisexual people, like, prefer, like, a lot of bisexual girls I've seen, like, tend to prefer, like, girls and stuff. But there are some who, like, prefer boys. And, like, that's still valid. Like, bi people usually tend to have a preference. Meanwhile, with pansexual people, it's like you like all genders, no preference.
Okay, and that's what David on Schitt's Creek is.
Yeah,
and also because I think what I've seen is that on Schitt's Creek, they don't ever make it a thing, like being a homosexual. It just is, and there's nobody hates anybody for being, you know, like,
yeah,
none of the population of the town ever make a big thing about it. Nobody ever, you know, talks about it in a negative way. It's just fully accepted, and no other TV show has ever done that.
Yeah, definitely not. It's like, I mean,
and you would,
like,
think in a small town like that,
yeah,
it was, it would be a thing, it would be an issue, it would be an outcast.
They purposely made it so it wasn't a thing.
Yeah, and I like that. David and Patrick, they're just my favorite couple ever. They're just, like, the best couple. Like, I think anyone who's watched the show can agree. They're, like, the best couple on TV.
I mean, I know that they get thousands of letters from people who watched the show and then felt like they could come out.
Yeah, it's just, like, such a good show. I love it. It's such great representation.
Yeah.
And for any parents who want to, like, make sure their kids, like, see, like, LGBTQ plus people on the screen. I have so many recommendations. Can I, like, list some of those?
You can. You have it if you list a few, and then we will put a whole bunch on our social media, and on our in the show notes.
Okay. Well, there's Steven Universe, The Owl House, She-Ra, the one on Netflix, not the original.
And those
one.
Are for younger kids, right?
Well, not really. Those are, like, for, like, more. Like, those are for kids, like, Jonah's age, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
so he's 9, okay.
Yeah, like, around his age. Let's see, the one that I was just talking about this with this show with my mom, because I actually just showed Jonah this show last night, Jonah and Sophia. This show, Julie and the Phantoms, which is pretty new, and it's got great rep. I really like it. It's like, I have so many more shows. There are so many more shows that have really good representation.
And that might be a really cool thing for parents to do with their kids, to sit down and watch with them. Because, you know, I mean, I've tried to watch countless shows with you, and when you watch one episode with me, and then I wake up the next morning and you finished the season.
Okay, listen.
So,
and when she's trying to explain to you.
We have tried and failed several times. I get very upset.
Well, sometimes watching something with Mia, and she's talking the whole time to explain every situation and what's going on in the story, and you don't get to see what's going on.
She's fully invested.
I get, like, way too into shows and movies that I watch. Especially shows. There are so many shows I'm obsessed with at the moment.
Yeah. Well, okay, you'll make a list for us online and everything. And I think that, you know, people just really want to... I know that most parents just want to create a safe environment for their kids, and we're all trying, and obviously we're going to screw up, and whether your kid is part of the LGBTQ plus community or not, everybody, you know, I've spoken about this on another episode, but I'm obsessed. I love Andrew Solomon, and if you guys haven't watched, you haven't watched this, Mia, I would love to watch it with
you. I don't
know
who that is.
Yeah, well, he's written a bunch of books, and he did this movie called Far From the Tree, and it's on Hulu, I think. If you have not watched it, go watch it. But he talks about, I think you'll find this interesting, Mia, that everybody has two identities. You have a vertical identity, which is what you inherit from your family, so, like, your ethnicity, your hair color, your last name, and then you have things in common things you have in common with your parents and children, and then you have a horizontal identity, which is things that make you different from your family. Those things that are established outside of the family norm. Things like if you have a health issue, or you know, you're deaf and your parents aren't deaf, or perhaps your sexuality, you're gay and you're born into a straight family, and that's an identity that's sort of just yours, that really everybody else needs to sort of try to understand. And you have this whole other identity sort of outside your family. Right? That's your vertical identity is what makes you, is what sort of makes you part of your family, and your horizontal identity is something you have outside of your family. And I think that we really just want you to feel like, you know, we're understanding of your horizontal identity, this thing that sort of sets you apart from us, that makes you so special and unique and wonderful. And so I think that, you know, anything that you can say to parents that they can do to sort of help make their kids feel more accepted is great.
Well, one thing you said a little earlier that I wanted to comment on is that, like, oh, you know, parents, we're all going to screw up. But the important thing is that you, like, fix those screw ups. You, like, fix the mistakes that you make. Like, you're allowed to make mistakes. It's obviously okay. However, depending on what mistake, you probably might have to fix it, like, depending on what you do. Like,
mm-hmm. So people who maybe haven't been as accepting as their kids, it's time to right that wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Right.
Acceptance varies on the person. Like, some people, like, a lot, most people that I can think of, like, if their parents know that they're gay, they don't want their parents telling anyone. And I'm, like, fine with you telling people.
I hope so. Because you're telling a lot of people right now.
Yeah. It's like, you know, accidentally comes out to your entire audience. Mm-hmm. Whoops.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I was going to say is that, you know, Mia, you've been really accepting of us, too. We have this. We are not by any means your typical parents. We have this podcast where, you know, most kids have parents that are, you know, who don't have a podcast where they talk about their deepest and darkest secrets.
Well,
and
you have definitely traumatized me at times. I'm not going to lie. You have definitely traumatized me at times.
How have I traumatized you?
Back when I used to follow the account.
The Instagram account. Well, that was your fault. You should just stop following that.
Well, I kind of want to sum it up a little bit saying, listen, I never thought I was going to have a podcast. I never thought we were going to have a medium to talk to people. But I'm so incredibly proud of you for coming on.
Thank you.
And talking about how you feel. And letting people know how important this is to be accepting of who your children are. So I'm really so proud of you, and I love you
we
no matter
are.
Yeah, whatever yeah. it is, you know.
Yeah, and
thank you. That's so nice to hear.
Yeah, we do. We love you so much, and I think that you're kind of. I think you think it's kind of cool that we have this platform that we can.
I mean. Yeah, but at times, it's like, oh, people know who my parents are. That's interesting. plus, I still haven't met anyone famous from it. So if you could get
well,
me the number.
Nobody's
of someone
met
famous.
Anybody in a very long time face to face anyway.
Name
so.
One person that you want to meet. We'll try to make it happen.
Yes.
One person.
If you're out
Quick.
There listening.
Go ahead.
Hey.
Dan Levy, if you're out
yes,
there.
Yes, Dan Levy. Hi, I
yes,
love you.
Please.
We all love you, Dan Levy.
Yeah, we all love you, Dan Levy.
Please, hi.
Will you come back and be a regular guest?
You know what? Sure.
Will you be like our acceptance professional expert?
Yeah, just bring me on the show. Like, I'm like, you know, like those kids shows who have like, who like, or about like learning and stuff, and like they like they'll have like that scientist that they go to explain
like Bill
stuff.
Nye.
Bill Nye, the science
well,
guy.
Yeah, like but I'm talking about like I'm sure that I know that there are like shows out there like they're like children based or like educational, and they have like those like segments. That
yeah,
are,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like that scientist guy.
Yeah, but you know what?
Right.
I from doing this episode, I don't feel like you belong on a kid's episode. I feel like you belong on this. Podcast
yeah.
talking to adults.
Yeah, I know. I was just like comparing like my appearance on this to like the scientists on the TV show.
Right, that she's like our own little professional, like our
yeah.
own little expert.
Right.
You know, we have our own little expert. And you really are. I mean, anytime, right, when I'm writing something and I need it to sound, appropriate and politically correct, I come to you. You're my person.
Yeah, I was actually, earlier you were saying something and I actually wanted to correct you about Black Lives Matter and how that's political. I was like, not really political, because, you know, it's just about, like, humans, you know, being alive and, like, staying
alive.
Right,
well, people will say it's political when they see that you're, but you're absolutely right. It's human rights. It's not about political. It's about humanity. I completely agree with you. And I'm so proud of you, and I know that you are already changing the world because, you know, you're so open and honest, and we need more people like that. And we love you so, so much. And is there anything you want to say to people about, again, I know you said about voting or whatever, just any last words?
Please vote. I want to have a future. I would like to get married and adopt children. And also, I do have a few, like, two final thoughts that I want to leave people with. I was thinking of. Okay. The first one. It's statistically proven that one in four or one in five people are gay. So, you know, anyone around you right now could be gay. Just, like, be careful of what you say around people. And two, Dan Levy, hit me up. I love you.
All right. And Alexis. We love her,
too. Yeah, I love Alexis.
She's amazing,
all
too.
Annie Murphy.
That's
her name, right? Oh, Annie Murphy.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She's probably not listening, but if you are, I love you.
All right. Well, we love you. The Marriage and Martinis community, I know, already loves you. And and you are welcome to come on and talk anytime. Now go clean your room.
Right.
Actually, you interrupted me napping before to do this, so I might just go back to that.
Oh, all right. We didn't clean your room tomorrow. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And, you know, like she said, vote. We only have a few weeks left.
Please.
And be careful, like you said, with what you say to people. You never know what internal struggles they're having and, you know, self-realization and everything. And let's just all just be accepting not only of our kids, but of one another. And, you know, we're all just fighting our own battles and trying to make it. All right.
All right, guys.
We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.